and singing praise to God again. Tupu Kids, good to have you here with us today. I understand that during the holidays you're here, and I've also heard that there's chocolates up for grabs if you listen well. I'm like, oh no, that's too soon, sorry. Sometimes you're tech crew. Oh no, it's good. Because there's chocolates up for grabs. And it's kind of reminded me that when I was about your size, my grandfather said to my sister and me, if you learn these Bible verses, the first one of you to do it will get a box of chocolates. So my sister Val, she was always the one who got on and did it, middle child, does everything right, worked hard, and she learnt the verses. And so Granddad presented her with a box of chocolates. Okay, Brian, I can have it now. And it looked like this. It was a matchbox. Hey, something's happened. Did you eat my chocolates, Laura? I've got a resuscitation mouth guard in here.
Here's your illustration. They are so delicious.
And you. Great. All right then. So my grandfather gave my sister a box of chocolates, and I was going to say if you were really good after the service, you could share my box of chocolates. But Laura's got it, so maybe next week. I hope your chocolates are better than that, and I'm sure the Tupu team will sort that out. Yeah, something always throws you, doesn't it? Come to expect the unexpected. Thanks, Laura. Enjoy those. It's white chocolate too. They're good, eh? Right, where were we? I'll just try again. Right, here we are. Hey, this morning we're going to begin our series in the Gospel of John. And so, kids, I know you've got some things to look out for. Hopefully I'll say the things that are on your question sheet so you'll get them. And then you'll get those chocolates. But we're beginning our series in the book of John. And one of the things I love about this book is that it's got an absolute clarity of purpose. There's absolutely no debate whatsoever why this book was written, this book of the Bible. Because we read it at the end of John's Gospel in chapter 20 and verse 31, and it says this: "These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Written so that you may believe that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing you may have life. Very, very few people will debate the historicity of Jesus. That's quite a word, isn't it? The fact that Jesus was around. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked this earth, and there's no one, I don't think, who will debate that a man named Jesus walked this earth and had a profound impact on it. However, understanding and believing that Jesus is God, the Son of God, divine, fully God, fully human, that is what so many have not come to comprehend and truly believe. So I want to ask you, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and do you have life in his name? Life, amen. Excellent. Life in his name, as Jesus describes, is life to the absolute full. Life at its best. Life without shame, life without guilt, light without darkness, a life of freedom. That is available to everybody who believes. And boy, oh boy, does our world need that sort of hope and that sort of life today, doesn't it? The only source of that hope, of that life, is the Lord Jesus Christ. If believing brings life, then it's time well spent to look really carefully at the words in this book of John and either find this life or be reminded of what it is that we have. And so that's why we're going to work through the book of John in our Sunday services under the title of Believe. Oop, bit eager there. And believe is a term that we find in the book of John 98 times. If it occurs so often, I think that it might be important. It's probably important for chocolates too, remember that. Okay, very quickly, an overview of the book of John before we get into the first 18 verses today. The Gospel of John is quite different from the other Gospels. We've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. There's a lot more words of Jesus in the Gospel of John, a lot of dialogue, and it complements and provides a different perspective than the other Gospels. A second century theologian, he was born in 150 AD, just a little while ago, he sort of refers to the fact that the first three Gospels record the physical things Jesus did, and the fourth Gospel is more the spiritual things. Matthew Henry, a theologian who lived in the 16th century, said that the first three Gospels really are full of history, and the fourth Gospel is full of mystery. There's things to uncover, there's things to discover. So it's a different book, and as you read it, you'll see that. It's interesting because it's quite an inclusive book. There's terms as we go through the Gospel of John where the writer will stop and explain what they are, that the jars that Jesus used in his first sign, what they were used for and why they were there. And it seems like this book was written to go to all people. Time and again, it says and explains things. And it's the only gospel where it tells us that the sign above the cross of Jesus was written in three languages, all the languages of the known world, because this was something that the world needed to know. So the book of John is written for all nations and all people. It's got an amazing message. Scholars who study lots have divided it often into four sections, and here they are. It's helpful to have sections. It's not divided up like this in the original. It's just a bunch of words. But I think it's helpful just to think about this because as we go through the book of John, it gives us a framework to come back and park things on and think about context. So the four sections of the book of John is divided by most scholars as the prologue, chapter 1, the book of signs, chapters 2 to 12, the book of glory, chapters 13 to 20, and the epilogue. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? The prologue, or the intro, is just chapter 1. And chapter 1, if you've picked it up and read it before today, is kind of quite dense. There's a lot of stuff in it. And we'll read some of that shortly. One of the neat things about chapter 1 is just about every theme that is talked about in John's Gospel is mentioned in chapter 1. And so it's pretty interesting to reflect as we go through and read the Gospel of John, to go back to chapter 1 and see how it's reflected and referred to there in some way. The second part of John is called the Book of Signs, chapters 2 to 12. And that's where we find recorded things that provide evidence of Jesus' identity. Jesus is Christ, the Son of God. That's what John wants us to know. That's the purpose of this book. In the other Gospels, when we read that Jesus did miracles, often people were going, wow, that's amazing, and they're in awe. And those words are actually recorded. Interesting, when Jesus does miraculous signs in the book of John, none of that's recorded. The supernatural works of Jesus are referred to as signs. And what does a sign do? A sign points to something. A sign reveals or discloses something. So the signs are not just acts of power, but they reveal that God is at work in Jesus, and they point to something greater. Signs are a means to an end. They're not the end. They point to the promise of what is to come. We often say we want to see signs and wonders and we want to see God at work, and so we do. We're excited to see that. But let's not get caught up with the signs. We want to see signs and wonders because they point to the fact that God is real and they point to the glory of God. When Jesus turned water into wine in chapter 2 of John, we read, Jesus did this, the first of his signs, and revealed his glory. Signs reveal and point to the glory of God. So we have the book of signs. Then we have the book of glory, chapters 13 to 20. And here we find lots and lots and lots of words of Jesus. In fact, five chapters of words of Jesus to his disciples. And in these, Jesus is teaching them who he is and helping them to understand the signs that are recorded in the earlier chapters. Also, in this book of glory, we have an account of the crucifixion and the cross and the resurrection. The interesting thing in the book of John is the emphasis on this is that the cross is a scene of triumph. It's where Christ came to complete his work. So it's not seen as a place of suffering, but a place of triumph. And so the emphasis in John is quite different and very triumphant. And then chapter 21, the epilogue, is a story of restoration, where Jesus says, "Feed my sheep," to Peter, hence the sheep in the bottom there. And how fitting it is that the gospel ends with a story of restoration, because the good news of Jesus Christ is about all humanity being restored with God. It's a really simple book. Anyone can read it. Kids can read it, adults can read it, scholars read it. It's simple and profound. And the more you delve into this book, and I've read it quite a few times, probably not as many times as I should have, and I'd like to read it many more, but I'm sure that there's people here, yeah, again, I'm probably over this section, who've probably read it more than the rest of us, just because they've got more years. I don't know how many times Griff's read it, but, you know, 96 years, it's probably a few times. And the more you read this book, the more you will discover and understand. It's an intricate book. The language in it is amazing. There's comparisons, there's contrasts, there's symbolisms, there's references back to the Old Testament. You can get into all of that, but you can just read it as well. The number 7 speaks of perfection in the Bible. And in John, we find that there's 7 signs in the book of signs. There's 7 claims that Jesus makes about who he is in the I Am statements. The hour is coming is a term that Jesus uses 7 times. Jesus appears to 7 disciples in the epilogue. There's lots to be understood in there. In the ancient world, oral culture was the important thing. Not a lot of writing. Everyone passed things on through oral tradition, as many indigenous tribes do. And in oral tradition, words that are repeated are used to emphasize meaning. And so it's good to look out for, in any part of Scripture you read, but I'm going to say let's look out for it in John, what are the words that are repeated? What are the words that are emphasized? Because they help us to bring our focus. In this book of John, Father, referring to God as his heavenly Father, is used 136 times. The word believe, as we said, is 98 times. And other words that are prominent in this book are truth, life, love, water, and light. And that's partly why that graphic's there for our Believe series. There's light and there's water. The phrase sent me occurs 35 times in this book. So a simple book with a profound message that's exceedingly clear, which is what? These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Life that is full, life that is worth having. So as well as listening to our messages on Sunday morning, can I encourage you to read the book of John again? There's only 21 chapters, so, you know, we should be able to get through it at least 6 times before the end of the year, chapter a day. As we read this book, God will speak to us. And if you don't yet believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, can I ask you to pick it up and read it? Because if you find life, it's worth reading. And if you don't yet know who Jesus is, you can still ask God to show you who he is. And when you pick up the book of John and read it, why don't you just pray, God, speak to me? Because God speaks to every one of us when we read his word. It's great to come and hear the word on Sunday morning, hopefully. It's preached straight. But, you know, when you read it from the word of God, men's words don't get tangled up in it, and you hear it straight from him. Let's encourage each other to continue to read the word of God and hear from him. These things are written that you may believe, and that by believing you may have life. So let's begin and read chapter 1. The first 5 verses we'll start with. Look out for the repetition of words. What do we read here? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, or came into being. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Quite straightforward, five verses, eh? Have you got all that? Good. These first five verses are a poem or a song, and I haven't put it up because I don't fully understand it, but it's really cool when you look at it in Greek and the words go this way and that way, and they actually all mirror each other, and it's just amazing. But anyway, that aside, let's talk about things I do understand. In the first two verses, the word, logos, and the word God, theos, occur three times each. They are equal and they are the same. It's the clear intent of this book to show that the word equals God, that the word was pre-existent and present at creation, was with God and is God. Three things we read here in the first two verses are that the word, a personification of Jesus, was in the beginning. The word was with God, the word was God, and through the word all things came into being. Have you grasped and understood everything those two verses say? Have you got your head around it? And you know what? It's okay if you haven't. Because sometimes this stuff's hard to grasp. The word was with God, the word was God. So it's talking about the word and it's talking about God and they're saying it's the same thing, and yet the word was with God and the word was God. How can he be with God and was God? God is a mystery. And that's what I just want us to pause and stop and think about right now. If we can understand God, he is not God. So when we read the word of God and there's stuff that's hard to understand, get excited about it. We're finding things out about a God that we do not understand. He's revealed things about himself that he wants us to know, but if we can't grasp it, it's no reason to walk away and say, I don't understand it, it's not for me. It's even more reason to have a look into it. God is God. If we understood him, he would not be God. So when we find things that's tough, hang in there. In this poem, we learn that the word is the source of life and light. This one, the word who has life within himself, brings light to all mankind. I love the end of these verses here. The light will not be overcome by darkness. The light will continue to shine. Light is something that our dark world so desperately, desperately needs. Isn't it amazing that we know that the source of light is the Word of God? The source of light is Jesus, and Jesus' light will continue to shine. It's interesting too, just to very quickly look at the words of John 1 against Genesis 1. In the beginning was the Word, in the beginning God. And as you look at these two passages together, the first five verses of Genesis 1, the first five verses of John 1, you'll see there's many parallels, light and darkness, the spoken word of God bringing things into being. It's almost like John here is saying there is a new beginning, and he's mirroring what God did in the first place. God created a world that was perfect, that was beautiful, that was good. And God wanted man to know him and be in relationship with him, but man chose to walk away from God and do his own thing. And so separation from God came, and darkness filled the world. In the Gospel of John, John wants us to know that Jesus is the Son of God who has come to earth to restore that relationship. And so it's a book of new beginnings, a book of recreation. When God says something, it happens. By the power of his word, he created the world. Watch as we go through the book of John. When Jesus says things, how often things, amazing things, happen. The next few verses in the book of John tell us that God sent someone ahead of the word, the light, into the world to make him known. John 1, verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He was not the light, he came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives life to the world. sorry, try again. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. John the Baptist's role was to introduce Jesus, make Jesus known. Why? Because even though he was the creator of the world, we go on to read this. Jesus was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Goes on to say, the word became flesh and made his dwelling, or literally pitched his tent among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Though the world was made by Jesus, when he came, the world did not recognize him or universally receive him. But those who did, it says, those who heard what John the Baptist said and believed, to those he gave the right to become children of God. That's a theme that is explored more and more in this book. And it's an amazing thing to be a child of God. And many of us in this room today have made the decision to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him. We are children of the living God. Sometimes I forget who my Father is and the incredible privilege it is to be a child of God. May we remember what that means and the incredible freedom it brings. And if you're not yet a child of God, know that it is possible to be in that special relationship by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Made his dwelling is a pretty incredible concept, that the creator of the universe, God, became flesh and dwelt on this earth. That is a concept John is wanting all readers of this book to understand and grasp. The verses go on to say this, verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. John made Jesus known, and Jesus makes God known to us. One commentator, Mr. Tenney, has put it this way, the life and words of Jesus are more than an announcement. They are an explanation of God, his attitude towards men, and his purpose for them. The life and words of Jesus, for all who will receive them and believe them, are amazing words about God and allow us to know him. As I've looked at these verses very briefly and gone over them very quickly with you right now, the word light has stood out for me this week. The word light is used 7 times in those 18 verses we just read. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus is the true light that gives light to everyone. Light is available to all humanity, and it is for everyone. I used to go caving up in the hills behind Wairau. Lots of limestone caves there. Pretty fun. We would jump into the car, race out there. We had a rope. We'd often tie the rope to a tree and go down a hole. Now, as I think about it with a health and safety and an OSH hat on now, it's like, ah. But anyway, we knew where these holes were, and we'd just go down them with our rope and disappear underground for hours at a time. One hill we went into, and we didn't take a rope because we knew that if you went in here, we were told you could come out 2 hours later at the other end of the hill. And we followed this cave around. It was great, got deep, got shallow. It was good because we got to the end, and 2 hours later, it was really good to see daylight. The only trouble was the gap got to be about that big by about that big, and it was half full of water. And it was about from here to the media box, you had to crawl to get out. The option was crawl like that to get out or walk 2 hours back the other way. Anyway, good fun. Going caving is great fun. But you know, one of the things in caves is that light is really good. When the light is on, it's lots of fun. But when the lights go out underground and it all goes exceptionally dark, Very quickly, the excitement turns to a little bit of overwhelming. What next? Who's got the spare torch? Where is it? What are we going to do? Because underground, it's incredibly black. And when there is no light, you are totally overwhelmed and you don't know which way to turn. Jesus came into the world to bring light to everyone. Our world is overwhelmed by the darkness of sin that came in when men, humanity, chose to go their own way and not believe that God's way is the truth. Jesus came to show that it's possible to come out of this darkness and be restored to relationship with God. Further on in this book of John, we read, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I have come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in darkness. Jesus, the pre-existent Word, Jesus, who is God, Jesus, who is the Son of God, descended from heaven, became flesh to make God known to us, to bring light and life to a world that is trapped in darkness. This is Rongopai. This is good news. This is why we gather and celebrate on a Sunday. This is free to all who will believe. This is the amazing message of the book of John. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if darkness is overwhelming you, but I do know of people in my world who darkness is overwhelming. People who, as Tracy prayed before, need to know who Jesus is. People who are longing for hope. People who need the light. Maybe you're that person. Well, that light is found in Jesus. And by simply believing the words that he has said and trusting him, you can find freedom, an incredible life, an incredible light. I trust that as we go through this book of John, you'll remember, if you already know him, what an incredible life God has given us. And if you don't yet know him, that you will find him and find relief from the darkness in this world. I've got here in my hand a book called The 21 Day Challenge, and there's a few little booklets down there at the back. It's just the Gospel of John. It's 21 days. It's 21 chapters. You can read it in 21 days. Either take your Bible, will you, this week, or pick up this, if you like, and take the 21 Day Challenge and read through the book of John again, so that you might know that there are amazing words that Jesus wants us to believe and words that bring incredible life. This gift of life, this freedom, is free to us. It's a gift that God has given. But it came at great and incredible price, the blood of Jesus. And so we're going to have communion shortly, and Peter's going to lead us in that. And this is a time when we stop and recall just what it costs the Word to become flesh and make it possible for us to become the children of God. Thanks, Peter.